You are now listening to Supernatural Breakthrough with Mike Signorelli. The unseen realm, ancient wisdom, and your freedom awaits in this episode. Remember, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new episode drops. Come on, let's jump right in. What if I told you that your weakness can be your strength? I want to take a look at a very familiar passage, Psalm 46:10. Here's what it says. Let's read it together. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And we've interpreted this scripture through the Western lens of the English language and our cultural context, because when you yell emphatically at your child to be still, that means stop moving. But if you were a Hebrew speaker and you read Hebrew and you looked at this Psalm chapter 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. The phrase be still is derived from the Hebrew rapha, which means to become weak and to let go. And essentially it means to surrender. See, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals my weaknesses. So be still and know that I am God is let go and allow yourself to become weak, and then you will have a revelation of who I am. When you give in the offering, you're reducing the balance of your bank account and you're weakening your numbers to show God's strength in your finances. Oh, come on, somebody. One of my best friends has been struggling with cancer for over a year now. And as he physically grows weaker, he spiritually is strengthened because his dependence on God grows. As the cancer grows, his dependency on God grows. But I got good news. His faith is growing too. And how many of you know God kills cancer? So here's the revelation. Be still and know is not stop moving. It's cease from striving. Woo! Be still and know that I am God. See, what if in an argument with your spouse, instead of trying to win the argument, you intentionally lost the argument, because in surrender, you find the vindication and the validation of God. Let me say it the way that Pastor Moses says it when you're in marriage counseling with her. She uses this phrase, choose to lose. What if I told you that when you begin to fly the white flag of surrender, that white flag is converted to the flag of Jesus Christ as you become an embassy of heaven? Only through surrender can your country be conquered. Only through surrender can your war-torn, ravaged mind, your pornographic, expletive-producing mind be converted into the thing that produces thoughts that are noble and lovely and pure. And think on these things, the Bible says. But it's until you surrender your mind that you receive the mind of Christ. But an unsurrendered mind can never receive the mind of Christ, because two kingdoms cannot stay. That's why sometimes we take some of you through deliverance. We get a quarter of the way through your deliverance, and then we tell you, get up, you must go home, you're not ready. And people say, what do you mean you're not ready? I don't understand, I'm ready for deliverance. No, you're not ready, because the demons left the areas that you are in surrender, but they remain attached to the areas that you have not surrendered. And so I cannot complete your deliverance, because the barrier is not the demon and it's not the power of Christ. It's the power of your will unsurrendered before him. And so sometimes deliverance can't be completed, not because the cross didn't conquer it, but because you have not surrendered your will. It's the thing that stands in opposition with God. And most of us, we say the sinner's prayer. We even get our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We even attend church faithfully, but we've never fully surrendered. See, full surrender is something that I desire from all of you as your pastor, I desire that you would feel the feeling of hunger pains as you watch your friends feasting, but you go into famine and you push the plate away, not because your desire for food was removed, but rather a greater desire for God was replaced. And so oftentimes fasting is viewed as I will do it when the desire goes away, but rather fasting is the presence of a greater desire inside of you that says, I want revival more than I want a 3-bedroom home and a driveway and a 1/2-acre lot. I want revival more than I want whatever foolish stuff I'd waste my money on. I want revival more than I want the opinions or the applause of the people. And so it's not the absence of a desire, it's the presence of a greater desire. And so Christians think, well, I'll stop sinning when I stop feeling like sinning. No, you're going to want something more. You know, one of my favorite stories is the story that my pastor told years ago of doing the baptism of a young man. He took that young man and he went to go dunk him under the water, but he held him there. 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000. Everybody's looking confused like, man, what kind of baptism is this? It's going to turn into martyrdom real quick. He starts flailing around. The pastor holds him down longer. And all of a sudden he starts, now he's panicking, thinking like, what kind of like weird sadistic thing is this? Finally, just a second beyond the moment of reasonability, the pastor pulls him up. He takes a big breath and he says, until you want God like you wanted air, you have not learned what it means to be a disciple. See, what happens is we go into baptism celebrating the fact that Jesus has saved us, but we must also celebrate that we get to join in his suffering and take up our cross with him, and we get to learn the ways of death with him. And you'll get a whole church screaming and clapping when you talk about the blessing of the Lord, but what if I told you that the blessing always comes through death, not around it? And we face that opposition. We say, God, please don't ask me to die. Please, God, don't. But see, Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, please, if it be your will. But he knew it was God's will. It was the human part of him that was saying, let this pass. It's the human part of us that says, get me out of this marriage. It's the, come on, somebody. Y'all ain't being real with me today. It's the human part of us that says, God, get me out of this church. I don't want to be in fellowship or covenant. I'd rather just watch a few clips online. Here's a sermon. I'd rather have clips than covenant. You know, there's some people, give me a sermon clip, but I don't want a covenant. And see, I'd rather have sex than actually have the covenant of marriage. Does somebody hear what I'm saying? We always go the easy route. I'd rather buy the food fully cooked, even if it's not good for me, than go home and make the food. And so what happens is when we bring that into the kingdom, we don't understand why you can't microwave your way to the discipline it takes to cast real principalities and powers out of a region. And the way that you take a city is you raise up giant killers. But giant killers have a giant sized faith, a giant sized sacrifice, a giant sized death to self, a giant sized commitment, a giant sized covenant, the way you kill giants. David was committed to the sling. He was covenanted to God's people. He had a giant sized discipline. He became skillful in playing the instrument that he played. You don't grow in skill being a part-time player. You got to become full-time obsessed with something. And what fasting does is to say, I'm going to spend full-time hours in this commitment of fashioning my body into that which looks like a living sacrifice until the aroma of my life is this sweet-smelling savor before God. But you don't hear preaching like this anymore. But this is the same preaching Jesus of Nazareth. He said, hey, when you see them fasting, don't be like them, because they want you to see that they're in pain. But he said, wash your face, anoint yourself, and when you fast, dignify yourself, because you know that you are more than a conqueror. Fully surrender. Be still and know that I am God. Literally means cease from your striving. I love it. It literally says, become weak. Become weak so that you know my strength. I think the worst thing that you can do is try to bring your accolades before God. I think the worst thing that you can do
is try to prove to God how worthy you are of the calling he placed on your life because you've got degrees. I think the worst thing that you can do is present to God all the relationships that you think prove that you're a person of status. I think the worst thing you can do is show God how many likes, comments, shares, and how good you are on social media. I think that's the worst thing that you can do, because here's the thing. You don't impress God with your power because he's the source of all true power. Oh. I'm trying to get in there and root out. You don't impress God with your power to be a mother to your children because he's the source of all power. You may impress your friends when you show them a facade of how clean your house is and how diligent you are to cook three meals a day and wear an apron, and your husband comes in with a briefcase and a hat and a full suit. And I think, you know what I mean? Like, and you curate that for the world and you show them, but you don't impress God. You can fake people out, but you can never impress God because he's the source of all things good. He's the source of all power. So what happens is when you get a revelation of be still and know that I'm God, what you're actually saying is, God, I'm admitting what you already know. God, you got me. I'm not a good mom. Sometimes I'm so mad at my kids, I want to hurt them. God, you got me. I'm not a good husband. The algorithm of TikTok already figured out that I like women. God, you got me. I keep going back to tobacco because I haven't learned the revelation of the Holy Spirit for comfort. God, I keep going back to caffeine because I'm undisciplined in my sleep, but I'm also undisciplined in reading the word and in prayer and in a lot of other areas. And so here's the thing. Let's have an outing party. Let's all out ourselves now. Because on Judgment Day, we're all coming out of the closet anyways. And so surrender. Watch this. Please watch this. Surrender is not the absence of surrender, but rather the proper placement of it in our lives. You're surrendered to lust. Anytime lust tantalates and begins, you're surrendered to it. You always give it. You're surrendered to tobacco. There's never a lack of surrender in your life. This is the revelation God showed me as I was looking at this the text. And I've got more to share with you, but just stay with me. Be still and know that I'm God. You're already surrendered to tobacco. You're already surrendered to alcohol. Because anytime something happens in your life that's hard, it's the first place you run. But David said, your name is a strong tower. Whenever I face difficulty, I will run into the strong tower. And see, what happens is I know where you're surrendered by what you run to. God, I want to be surrendered. He's like, you are, but will you surrender to me? I just want to surrender my life. He's like, no, your life is surrendered. It's just not surrendered to me. And a house divided cannot stand. I was telling people that I've been casting demons out for a long time, but I've noticed that as my surrenderedness increases, I become a greater conduit for the power of God, and deliverance is getting easier, and it's getting bigger and more ubiquitous and larger. And it's not because Christ's power is growing, but as I continue to reveal and expose my weaknesses, it's increasing through me. See, the more, if you want to operate in the power of God, don't increase how much you're fronting, increase how much you're admitting. Oh, Lord. Listen, this is not an American sermon. I'll tell you that much. This would do very well in Africa. This would do very well overseas. They would love this in Ukraine, wouldn't they? I got more for you. Can I give you guys three ways to fast? We're going to start with, but now that I set the framework, now we can go deeper with the last 10 minutes. Number one is this, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. We talked about it last week. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. We have a water fast A water fast. Now listen, the whole world has discovered that fasting has benefits of longevity. And matter of fact, one of the ways that I've lost over 35 pounds in the last 3 months is fasting. Not extended fast, but intermittent fasting, just going longer periods of time. Isn't it amazing that when you make your body suffer, your body responds with more strength? You go into the gym and you create resistance, and resistance creates muscle. You go longer durations without food and your mitochondria begin to assimilate to a greater capacity to metabolize energy, and your body becomes more efficient. You go 72 hours without food and your body goes into autophagy and begins to eat up all of its dead old cells and then begins to create new ones. If just 3 days water only can cause you to go into autophagy, which is the scientific term for your body eating its own broken and damaged cells, what's happening to you spiritually? Here's a question. Have you ever gone into spiritual autophagy? See, there's some things that when you begin to go into a water-only fast, there's some things, some old things. Hey, can I tell you? I've grown a sense, and Julie and I talk about this. Only the old Pentecostals understand this. I can tell when people are operating off of old anointings. I can feel it. It's like, no, you learned that a long time ago, and you've been rehearsing something you learned. You need a new anointing for a new season. And I can tell sometimes you're operating off of a prayer life you used to have. You're operating off of fasting, and I know this is a convicting message. But man, how many times have I done you wrong? Church, anytime I've taken us on a journey, there's been major fruit and breakthrough on the other side of it. So just trust your pilot as I'm steering the ship today. Come on, we started this journey in January financially, and we've seen the most financial provision in your lives than ever before. And that was a huge risk. And I know you didn't like the uncomfortable conversation of you with money, but let's talk about you with food. This is bad. God, can you tell that the Lord convicted me first before I ever preached it to you second? Food started to become a source of comfort for me.
I know this teaching has been so good, but I wanted to pause for a second because I want to connect with you. Go to MikeSignorelli.com. Tell me your story. Check out all these resources I have available for you. And would you consider financially partnering? It's because people say, I'm going to join my finances with this podcast that we're able to reach so many people around the world. And I'll tell you this, we are good soil to sow into. So I'll see you at MikeSignorelli.com. And thank you so much for your financial gift. Okay, let's jump back in.
I ate every single time I had a hard day. And in the last 6 years since planting this church, I've had a bad day every day. I'm not kidding. My wife, I won't tell on her, but she likes me big. And so I had two factors. Julie wanting to be married to Big Papa. And my life being so hard that me and Ronald McDonald's were best friends. I was like, what's up, Ron? You know what I want, son? But there's something about that water fast that says, I was going to food because I was stressed out. But I've got to take some time and say, God, I'm going to you. And it hurts. It hurts. Champions are willing to go through what they suffer to obtain that which they love. That's the formula. On a water fast, I love this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. We have King Jehoshaphat. Hey, how many of you are the king of your own house, right? You're the king at your job. All of us are the king somewhere. All of us are the leader somewhere. Jehoshaphat was the leader of Israel, rather. And at this time, he says this, I am so in a position of impossibility that I don't know what to do. I love his response to confusion. His response to confusion was prayer and fasting. See, when he was confused, he didn't know what to do, but he said, I'm calling a fast, and there's going to be clarity. We see that also in the book of Acts, when there was confusion among the apostles about how to advance the church, and they said, well, let's call a fast. We'll know what to do. There's clarity that comes through a fast. And so Jehoshaphat says, we're going to fast. Let me just tell you, if you're confused right now about where you should live, where you should work, who you should marry, how you can reconcile or heal your marriage, your relationship. If you're confused about the direction, can I tell you that a fast is one of the most powerful things that you can do to bring clarity into confusion? I'm telling you, is it you talking or the food talking? Is it you talking or the tobacco talking, the alcohol talking, your friends talking? There's difference. So water fasts are very powerful. And now, here's what King Jehoshaphat did. And if you read further, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, go down to the bottom of this chapter. He's doing the fast. Now, watch what the Lord tells him. It doesn't make no sense. Put all of the singers at the front of the army. And when you put all the singers at the front of the army, they will begin to sing this song. And the lyrics of that song was, we give thanks. Now, let me just tell you. Putting singers as your first line of defense is militarily stupid. Can you imagine if we were headed into Ukraine for a mission trip and I said, hey, we're going into enemy lines. All right, V1 worship, you all go first. Should I take a gun? No, take your bass. Take your guitar. What good is this going to do against rockets? But see, the foolishness of God to the world is wisdom in disguise. And see, sometimes you think, well, the only way I can win this war is by fighting a weapon with a weapon. But the weapons of our warfare, oh, now do you see a revelation, are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not human. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so what begins to happen? King Jehoshaphat puts the singers first. Because he understands that worship is warfare. They're all fasting. They're praying. And they begin to lift up this song. And I love it because they worshiped before the victory. They said thank you as a lyric in the song before the victory. That's a revelation of faith. It says, thank you, God, my house is on the way. Thank you, God, my husband is getting to know you and turning into a man of God. Thank you, God, that our church is expanding into buildings across every region. You thank God while it's on its way, as if it's on its way, and that activates faith that moves mountains and opens up the realm of possibility to produce it in your life. And so Jehoshaphat, who was confused, but he got clarity when he fasted. He put the singers up at the front. They begin to worship. And what looked like foolishness, it said, confusion went into the enemy's camp. And the nations that were drawn on every side begin to kill each other. How many of you know that the confusion that the devil placed in your life, if you'll begin to fast and worship, you will put that confusion back in his camp. How many of you know that you can confuse your enemy? How many of you know that you can actually use the weapons of their warfare to take them out? When David defeated Goliath, he took Goliath's sword and cut his head off with his own sword. What if you made fear afraid? What if you made confusion confused? What if you made doubt the assignment Satan gave him against your life? You're supposed to be fighting with the weapons that have been used to fight you. Does somebody hear me this morning? That's a water fast. Now you can go one day, water only, no food. Try it. You can go, yeah, you could do a day probably. Consult your medical professionals, but don't go to a doctor who ain't saved. That's a water fast. Some of you probably can't do water only more than a day if you're new to fasting. That's okay. Start somewhere. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, start somewhere. Okay, let's do another one. This is called the Daniel fast. Daniel chapter 10, verse 3. This is what Daniel said. Now listen, everybody wants to be Daniel. When we do the little coloring books in our Sunday school, Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel We got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. You know what's funny? Let me just stop here. When I just told you the story about confusion being in the camp of the enemy and them all killing each other, if you don't read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you could preach a whole sermon about worship but delete out fasting. See, a lot of times when preachers preach the Bible, they delete out the parts that they think are too hard for you or you won't do it. And I'm thankful to be the kind of pastor who's saying, no, what produced that victory wasn't just the worship, it was the fasting with the worship. See, matter of fact, in later on in the Bible, when you go down to the New Testament, I believe it's in Corinthians, talks about prayer and fasting together, even when you're in a married context. Talks about, it joins those two together. Some demons don't come out but by prayer and fasting. And so here's another one, the Daniel fast. Daniel chapter 10, verse 3. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. So I didn't eat any meat, nor wine, nor pleasant bread. Now, when I read that, I was like, that's how I know that God used a human, divinely inspired, because only a human would put pleasant in front of bread. And if you're keto, you know what I'm talking about. Pleasant bread. It's like he said, I ate no pleasant bread, nor put any flesh in my, neither did I anoint myself at all. All 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And so the Daniel fast is simply this. In the abundance of food, I will be anti-consumeristic. Because, see, now watch this. Food strengthens me, but I am going to be still and know that he's God. I am going to intentionally weaken my body to show God's strength through my body. This is the way of the kingdom, y'all. And so he was in the abundance of the best food in Babylon, and yet he said, I'm going to eat vegetables only because I'm going to be missing essential amino acids. Come on, scientists. I'm going to be missing essential proteins, and yet I will excel beyond everyone around me. Because, why? I've learned that making myself weak enables God to be strong through me. See, this is the way of the kingdom. Now, this last one I'm going to give you, and this is just the 3 major ways to fast, because we're fasting from now till Easter. And Easter Sunday, we're going to be sitting at the Space of Westbury together. And I believe people are going to fly out from all around the world to come for Easter here in New York. And you are going to see the fruit of your fasting. You are going to see God's power on display. The last one is this, fasting from other things. 1 Corinthians, yep, there it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 through 5 talks about redirecting your intention. Now, how redirecting of your attention, and sometimes you take attention away from sexual activity with your spouse so that you can redirect your attention towards God through prayer and through fasting. And so some people say, you can't fast social media, fruit sweetener. And I know that for a lot of you, you're like, man, this has been the most supernatural and the most super practical I've ever heard him preach. But your breakthrough lives where those two converge. See, some of you think that you're just going to become this spirit and just float around. I'm a child of God now. Devil, go. Mike couldn't do it, but I can. Go. You think that you're just going to, but here's the thing. It's taking your body, beating it into submission, and going the way of the cross and saying, just like our Heavenly Father, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Would you stand to your feet with me? Because it's not going to ever feel good. But if you do what you feel like doing, you're going to end up in more bondage and feel worse. See, I used to think that doing certain things that I felt like were the right thing were gonna make me feel better, but I actually felt worse. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had that moment of clarity after you actually satiate the desire of the sin and you have that moment where you say, why did I do this to myself? I will tell you, fasting is the opposite of that. See, oh, come on, I'm trying to give you a revelation. See, when you sin and you fulfill the desire of that sin, you have this moment of guilt and shame. But when you fast and you fulfill the desire of the Spirit, you get a moment of clarity. You get this moment where you're like, wow, I'm proud of myself. I'm doing it. I'm stepping in. You know, it's like, you begin to increase in momentum. And this is my prayer for you, that you begin to build momentum in your life. May you step into every day as a momentum building day. I didn't lose 35 pounds in 35 minutes. I didn't lose it in 35 days. It took me months, but it was momentum building. And so what God wants you to do, come on church, is build a momentum. The reason why I started with a 7-day Bible reading app, now a 14-day Bible read, I want you to pick up momentum. It's time to go on a streak. Come on, there's been no loss of momentum for lust in your life. Every day you lust, there's been no loss of momentum of spending your money the wrong way. Every day you spend it in a way you shouldn't. I want to turn the tables because I hear the Lord saying, the first will be last, the last will be first. He's reversing. Come on, I'm releasing the word reverse over your life right now. Reversal, reversal. Everybody in your family died prematurely, but the reverse says that you're going all the way, that you're living the longest. You're going to be Enoch. Come on, somebody. There's a reversal that's happening. You always give in, but you're never going to give in. The reversal is here. Come on. You always give in to your soulish realm, but the reversal says my spirit is going to lead, not my feelings, not by sight, but by your spirit. Come on, somebody. Let's just worship one more time. Come on, lift it up. Lift it up. Great are you, God. Come on, make up your mind. The reversal is here. It's your breath. Come on. Step in, church. Step in. Come on, worship in spirit and in truth.
Well, we are coming to the end of yet another incredible time together. Every Monday, every Wednesday, and Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am posting a new podcast so that you can be equipped and learn and grow. And you know, if you got this far, you may want additional mentorship and you may want to connect with me on a deeper level, which is why I have the Breakthrough Community. If you visit MikeSignorelli.com or BreakthroughTeaching.com, you can become a monthly financial partner for $27 a month or $297 for the entire year. You can come into the Breakthrough Community. We do monthly Zooms. Yes, monthly Zooms. It's wild. People from all over the world are there, including prophetic seminars and teachings that literally are banned on other platforms. All of it's waiting for you, including a private Facebook group with all of the other Breakthrough Community members. So again, go to MikeSignorelli.com or BreakthroughTeaching.com and become a monthly partner. I can't wait to see you there, and I will see you in the next podcast episode.